KDUS AM 1060 Tempe Phoenix and KSLX HD2 Scottsdale Phoenix is brought to you by AC by J Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Drains.
This program is paid for by Good Vibes Media.
Coming to you from a wrong turn off Route 66. Somewhere in the Sonoran Desert, it's James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks.
Good evening, Phoenix and friends. How are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? James Out West. And before I usually get into it with me, as always, Ryan Rooks, and I get the what up brothers and all that. Ryan is a little bit under the weather. He is not in studio today. I'm chalking it up that because of the Niners' loss, it's finally, he just can't do it anymore. So we'll see if he's here next week, ladies and gentlemen. Get well soon, Rooks. All right. Super Bowl week, ladies and gentlemen. Super Bowl week. Well, there's a lot to say about that. And everybody who's anybody's at Radio Row, that's why we are here. I got my brother-in-law Patrick in the house. We got producer Aaron in the house. So we're going to be bouncing a little bit back and forth. We're going to start, though, with what football was over the weekend, and that was the Pro Bowl. And more people watched the Pro Bowl than watched the World Series. And the Pro Bowl stinks. During the week, the skills challenges, the dodgeball, what? Dodgeball was awesome. Justin Jefferson taking one from Nick Chubb to win it. That was pretty awesome to watch how athletic those guys are. Skills challenges, fantastic. I think it needs to get rid of this game situation, go to kicking contests and long ball throws and things of that nature because no one's trying because no one wants to get hurt, understandable. But it makes for ugly football. You got Mac Jones out there doing the gritty, whatever that is, a dance I can't do. And what's interesting is, you know, he was very hyped. He won. He is the next Drew Brees in that regard. He is Mr. Pro Bowl. He's going to be, you know, rah-rah-ing him up and clapping probably like Mr. Unlimited did. Shout out CJ. But one of the things that, besides the game being what it was, and it was terrible, was the retiring of Tony Corrente. Longtime stooge. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Stooge. Referee in the NFL called an illegal motion in the Pro Bowl. And he was not smiling. He did it on purpose just to kind of get one more jab in at how terrible of a referee he is. Thank goodness he is gone. More young bloods getting in there. More guys with their eyes a little bit faster. What? They're a little faster. What? So the Pro Bowl needs to be revamped, needs to do some things. But it is a celebration of those guys. It shouldn't be in Las Vegas because what happens in Las Vegas when people have a lot of money, get to having a good time, get to drinking, maybe there's an altercation, and then you have things like Alvin Kamara. So if you don't know this, ladies and gentlemen, running back Alvin Kamara, Saints superstar, was apparently, now this was before the Pro Bowl, so it wasn't after. This was before the Pro Bowl. There was an altercation between him, his crew, and a gentleman on an elevator, getting off an elevator. Some words were said, and a beating was put on this dude. I'm sure there's more to it, so I'm not going to speculate and call Alvin Kamara a bad guy. I mean, hell, he went out and played in the Pro Bowl like nothing happened. He got out on $5,000 bond. There's going to be an investigation, yada, yada, yada. Most things won't happen because it's the NFL, and they're going to cover this stuff up. But he obviously maybe had a reason for laying hands on this dude. So I don't want to, you know, necessarily just toss in, you know, the bad apple with the bunch, but
two sides to every story.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. Moving him, this has to go back to Hawaii. Or if you want to grow the game globally, because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, are you really going to the Pro Bowl to watch a competitive game? No, people are going there to celebrate and have vacation. So take it back to Hawaii. Let these guys be able to take their teammates and their families on these vacations, up the money that they get for winning these things. Like, have the linemen do a pie-in contest. $50,000 to the winner. A bench press contest like they used to. Fastest man in the NFL like they used to. Not like the one we had with Micah Parsons in 47-degree weather with his shirt off. Big balling on everybody, showing why he is a one of one. Out there really wanting to get in. The reason he wanted to win that is because Nick Chubb was in his ear all day saying, you're not faster than me, you're not faster than me, you're not faster than me. Nick hardly ever speaks. So that might have been the only words Nick Chubb's going to say this entire year. And he edged him out right at the end, ladies and gentlemen. Go back and watch it. Now, the cheetah didn't get off the blocks. He didn't care. He wasn't running. He wasn't trying. And he wasn't going to. So, again, you need to put up significant amount of money to get these guys to really want to do it. You know what I mean? Don't just let the quarterbacks in the quarterback challenge. There's defensive ends that can throw the ball 70 yards. There's kickers that were athletes. You know, kickers are people too. You're able to make a lot of things with this. A kickball tournament. Make it fun. Take it back to Hawaii. You want to grow the sport. You're trying to grow it in Germany. Take it to Germany 1 year. That'd be pretty neat. Take it to Puerto Rico 1 year. Take it to spots where it's destinations where people want to take their families. Yes, I know Germany's in there. There's a lot of beer, and you can drink them on the train. Shout out Grove. Now, with that being said, Pro Bowl's in the books. Another one done. I mean, Mac Jones was a Pro Bowl, so that tells you how many people are not going, that didn't show up, or that are playing in the Super Bowl, like a Matt Stafford, what, Joe Burrow, what, those guys. They have the, I mean, I guess I'd rather be in the Super Bowl than the Pro Bowl, but let's put the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl again. Shout out Pops. Put it after the Super Bowl again. Make it a destination for people. Make it something that they want to go to. They want to take their friends and celebration of that, because it's going to cost them a lot of money to take their family on vacation of that, and you don't want to hear in Phoenix, Arizona. We had it here. It was terrible. We went, as I said, you know, people that wouldn't want to go, but they were free tickets, okay? So now, moving on, Super Bowl weekend. The Cincinnati Bengals, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, the Cincinnati Bengals, the team that I might despise more than the Pittsburgh Steelers, what, are in the Super Bowl. They got in, some would say backdoored, but you can't really say that when they beat Kansas City twice this year. They beat the number one seed on the road. They beat Kansas City on the road. They made the Super Bowl. I'm going to give them their dues. Joe Burrow is a guy. They have a very good offense. Their offensive line is suspect, and we're going to get to that. But they are there. They just left the freezing, frozen tundra of Cincinnati earlier today to go out to L.A. and finish this up. They're on a mission, obviously. But this L.A. Rams team has got to be on a mission, too. They are at home, basically, right, with SoFi Stadium. Now, I heard from the good word of Pat saying that it was more than likely with the sales of the tickets that it's going to be mostly Bengals fans. Sure, okay, because there's not a lot of L.A. Rams fans that are going to go to this. But I don't think that matters. I think it does matter that they are still in their building. That's their turf. It's their home locker room. You know what I'm saying? They have the ability to sleep in their own beds basically till the day of game. These guys are staying in a hotel. They're having a bus everywhere. L.A. traffic alone, unless they're staying over at the NFL Network facility, which that would be an awesome situation if they had a full-size locker room in there. Man, they should have thought that through. They spent $6 billion on this situation. But being able to have that traveling, I know, it's not like the old days where, you know, they traveled and it was, like, hard to set up and everything. They've got this stuff streamed. Granted, it's the biggest games of these guys' lives. And like Joe Burrow will say, you know, hey, I just played in the national championship game 2 years ago. You know, the SEC is louder than any of these stadiums, et cetera. And he's probably right. The moment is not too big for him. But if he can't get off the ground because his offensive line stinks and Aaron Donald's wreaking havoc, he's going to have a problem. And if he has a problem, the Bengals have a problem. They can't rely on Joe Mixon. They sure as hell can't rely on that defense to win them the game. They can rely on that defense to make stops when they have to, because they did. Look what they did to Kansas City. Again, I go back to the fact that Kansas City did that because Pat Mahomes just wanted it to be over because he was tired of his brother dancing. But that's for another situation, because they're out. They were at the Pro Bowl. It was nice to see some of the guys out there having fun amongst one another. That was kind of nice to see. But not having the two best teams, having to put the Bengals in that situation of the two best teams is gut-wrenching. I want to throw up in this trash can over here. But they are there now. Now, with that being said, and I know no one's given their prognostications and all of those great things when it comes to what they're going to pick, I know that a lot of money's riding on the Bengals. As we've seen, there's been quite significant bets placed on the Super Bowl, like there is every year. But what's nice is now is everybody is into gambling. Now, I can't take credit for that because we're just us. But we have seen some amazing things this year. Listen to this, Pat. Producer Aaron, a $4.5 million bet for the Bengals money line at plus 170 at Caesars was done by Mattress Mack. Everybody knows who he is, right? Mattress Mack, the famous. First off, we have a whole other question. How is this dude blowing this much money on bets when all he does is sell mattresses? I understand he's got like 187 stores. You really sell that many mattresses, Mattress Mack? I think there's some shenanigans going on. Check his books. Check his books. But he put $4.5 million on the Bengals, and that stinks because they're going to lose. Now, somebody else made a $522,000 bet on the Rams -4 at Caesars. A couple of $200,000 bets. A lot of this is at Caesars. Wow. And a lot of it's 50-50. Some of it's Rams money line. A lot of it's Bengals +4.5 because they got on that earlier. But, I mean, the money's rolling, and they think that $7.5 billion with a B will be gambled on this weekend. With a B, Patrick.
That's crazy.
That is wild. That is absolutely wild. But what's nice is we have it here. We have it in a lot of the states. The states that don't have it, you're not listening anyways. Well, except for Ohio. But you guys are getting it soon. You'll have it by next year, so you can bet on the Lonely Browns. Trust me, it hurts every week. Every week. All right, so, but moving on. In the Super Bowl, the matchups, right? Offense, defense, it's easy to say it's Matt Stafford versus Joe Burrow. It's easy to say it's Jamar Chase versus Jalen Ramsey, or versus the media will tell you it's Odell Beckham Jr., but we know it's Cooper Kupp, right? The running back situation. Look at Cam Akers, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know about this, but Cam Akers blew his Achilles. This is something that you should be out for a long time.
Getting healthy at the right time.
Yeah, and to come back and do what he has done has been nothing but impressive. You know, Joe Mixon needs to get a workload early, but I don't know if you can give a workload early when they're going to have the pressure they're going to have, in my opinion. I mean, I think Aaron Donald knows that this is, I think he even said this, that this is the only thing missing on his resume is a Super Bowl victory. He's got how many defensive players of the years? He's got so many double-digit sacks. He's Pro Bowl, All-Pro, right? Pizza Hut ambassador, all this stuff. But he doesn't have the Super Bowl ring. Right. And he looks like a dude that wants to eat. He will break you in half, drink your bone marrow while on the way to the quarterback if he can.
Right. Nothing motivates you like getting a Super Bowl ring. So he's going to be coming.
And I'm wondering in the contract situation what it is, because a lot of these guys have those, you know, those escalators. Like, you win a Super Bowl, you win X amount of dollars. Not that that is the driving momentum. For some people it is. And good, whatever gets you there. And especially paying those California taxes, you need as much of it as you can. Between that and what you're paying your agents, some of these guys are lucky to be renting Airbnbs in El Segundo.
Yeah.
Which is nice. It's a very nice area.
As long as Matt Stafford doesn't throw 3-4 picks.
Now, do you think if he turns the ball over like that, that there's no way they win this? There's no way that they can win the Super Bowl?
I think if the Rams lose, it's because of Matt Stafford. That's my opinion. But.
I could see that. I could 100% see that. And the reason that the Bengals would lose, you would say it wouldn't be for Joe Burrow, but it is going to be because of their offensive line. Yeah. It will be because of their offensive line.
I like the Bengals' weapons, like as you match them up. But
they're deep. I hate to admit it, but they're deep. Tight end, what? He's really good. They got three receivers across the board that are really good. They are, in the words of the late Denny Green, they are who we thought they were. But who we thought they were is we thought they were the Cleveland Browns, and no, they're not. They're Cincinnati Bengals, and that's enough. Cleveland Browns talk, Rooks, okay? I won't put up any more of it. You're listening to KDUS, 1060 AM, home of the Dan Patrick Show, what? Rich Eisen, what? And the Killer Bees, Jim Brinson and Howard Balzer. See you on the other side.
Listen to The Sports Zone with Bob Kemp, 10 a.m. till noon on KDUS AM 1060, 100.7 HD2, and KDUS1060.com.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. James Out West tonight. Pat the Stat Guy, producer Aaron, hanging in here with us. Now, before we get into the Kyler Murray social media deletion, annexation of America, we're going to talk about the NFL coaching hires. So we've had a lot happen in the last 3 or 4 days, some of which, I mean, ultimately we can say you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, you know, how this is going to turn out until a couple of years from now. I am happy, you know, forever it was, you know, you had these retread coaches, which we have some of these in here, ladies and gentlemen. These retread coaches that have either a third, fourth, or fifth opportunities to be an NFL head coach. But we have gotten a lot more new, upcoming, younger coordinators. Not coming from college, not the college head coaches making a splash, but coordinators. Some of these guys that have all basically paid their dues. These aren't flash in the pans like what Houston was going to do. Houston was going to hire Josh McCown, who's coaching high school ball. That's what the plan was. And then the backlash, I think, was too loud. And so they decided to make the safe choice. Now, it was interesting the way that they worded it, but Lovie Smith, ladies and gentlemen, Chicago Bears bear down, Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith of the Fighting Illini of University of Illinois. The 2-year Tampa Bay disaster, Lovie Smith, is now back in the saddle. Now, he was a defensive coordinator in Houston last year, so they're retaining his services, essentially. He was helping them look for the head coach. This is one of those things where it's like, you know, they asked him to advise on how to find one. And at the end of the day, he's like, you guys should just give it to me, essentially. So Lovie Smith getting another shot. Now, they didn't say it was like a 4-year deal. They just said it was next season. Usually it's like, oh, you signed a 4-year deal, 5-year deal, $27 million, whatever. It's like, he'll be the head coach of the 2022 season.
Yeah. Give him a beard endorsement, though.
It looks great. Oh, he'll have.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. He better not shave it. Now that he got the gig, like, dude, let it flow. Let it flow. This is coming from a bearded guy who's also bald. He's a little bit darker than me, but just a smidge. Doug Peterson, you know, dude won a Super Bowl just a couple of years ago in Philly against the Evil Empire, right?
Yeah.
Philly special, Nicky Foles.
I'm pretty sure Nick Foles called that play, but yeah.
Hey, the play has to be in there to call it. Whose playbook is it? All right. You know what I mean? It's taking over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I guess anybody stepping in the situation is going to do better. Just from the mere fact that Urban Meyer, shout out Rooks, who always loves to bang down under Meyer, which he's right. It's the worst tenure of anybody in 1 year, probably in the history of the NFL. And I'm not over exaggerating. It was that bad. So Doug Peterson's walking into a situation where, as long as they don't change the idea of the culture of let's build it up, let's make it like a campus. We're building brand new facilities. We want to be able to drive, you know, free agents to come down here and play with this young buck quarterback.
Yeah.
He can look what he did with Carson when Carson was healthy before Carson got the yips. Look what he did with Nick Foles. Doug Peterson can be a guy who's going to give this kid any better of a chance than anybody else.
Yeah, it's got to feel good for him, too, getting out of Philly with all those fans, that pressure, like this whole new fresh start.
And he's in the sun. He's coaching in 80-degree weather. The visor plays now in Jacksonville because you need it. Oh, and the tax breaks for the state of Florida. Doug Peterson literally hit the jackpot. Nice job on him. Now, sorry, Chicago. I don't know much about Matt Eberflus, except for he was defensive coordinator out of the Colts. Been there for a little while. Colts defense looks great. You know, some of that's obviously the playmakers, the freaks they have, like Darius Leonard and stuff like that. But, you know, they went just like everybody. You fire an offensive guy, you hire a defensive guy, right? Look at Lovie Smith. He's a defensive guy. Got hired there as an offensive guy. The Raiders, I mean, I guess you could... Bisaccia was a special teams coordinator, but before that was Gruden. I guess he was offense. They bring in Josh McDaniels. I think that's very interesting. Josh McDaniels with Derek Carr. See what the Raiders can do there. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be an interesting situation. Brian Daboll, who we talked about this last week, getting the New York Giants job, which everybody had to assume that he was getting the Giants job, considering the brand new GM of the Giants was the assistant GM in Buffalo. It just makes sense that the guy that's getting a lot of steam towards other teams like the Miami Dolphins, who was in the Bills division, you know what I'm saying, is maybe potentially going to give Brian Daboll this job after the fiasco that was Brian Flores and Bill Belichick. What? Brian Daboll has got his work cut out for him, though, because is Daniel Jones the right guy? Does Saquon still have enough in those ginormous thighs of his? Sorry, quads. Their defense is still their defense. Now, they flashed at times last year, and they played tough at times, but give me their playmakers. Who's on the New York Giants is going to be a playmaker that's going to take on the rest of the NFC West?
Evan Ingram.
Okay. If that's the number one guy that we can think of, you know, the Giants are in a bad spot. Now, granted, I'm assuming they still have Kenny Galladay. I'm assuming, you know, he's going to be healthy. I think there's some other guys that they have on the roster. Obviously, they're not that depleted.
They have what? Sterling Shepard, right? Like, don't
maybe.
They have a few guys.
They have a few guys, but...
Saquon's not what we thought he was.
Well, I mean, again, he showed flashes, but these guys with these that are this big that take these poundings, some of them just the NFL pounding is different.
It's just the injuries.
100%. Now, you guys, Minnesota Vikings clean house. That was kind of surprising. Not surprising. Early in the year, you were saying, Pat, you were like, you know, they might fire Zimmer. I'm like, no, they just gave him an extension. I'm not going to fire him and Spielman. It doesn't make any sense. Like... Sometimes teams just have bad luck. And you guys were at the back end of some bad luck this year and last year between injuries. Sometimes it was play calls. It was just execution on the field. I don't know that I would have made this move, but they did. And they bring in two new fresh faces, young guys. And Kevin O'Connell, who is the Rams offensive coordinator, who's coaching this Sunday in the Super Bowl, has already agreed to terms of becoming your guys' new head coach. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. That's exciting, actually, when you kind of think of, like, the Sean McVay kind of tree, and like, all the guys that have, you know, kind of coached under him. But, yeah, I was kind of shocked at the Spielman, when they got rid of Spielman and all that. But, yeah, I think it was time for Zimmer to go and, you know, get some fresh young blood in there. And, coaching in the Super Bowl, that's like the one reason I might be rooting for the Rams. But
good.
You know, you don't want to see a bad performance from your future head coach.
No. No, you don't want that offensive struggle under his watch. Now, granted, he's not making the calls there, but it's, you know, he's a part of that, the game planning. He's right there. Yeah. He's probably a part of the process of what plays are called and where they want to, you know, take these places. Now, the Denver Broncos, not a splash hire. It's only a splash hire if somehow they get Aaron Rodgers. Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator, but again, in Green Bay, who calls the offense? Their head coach, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Same thing in L.A. You have an offensive coordinator just became a head coach, but he's not the play caller. Not that you need to be, because I'm sure it's just because he just doesn't do it. Doesn't mean he can't. It only works if he gets Aaron Rodgers. Well, it doesn't only work. But that's kind of what they're banking on, is that if he's to leave, are they able to move a trade, that he would waive his no-trade clause to the Denver Broncos. I personally think that Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I've been hearing the Denver rumors this whole time. Like,
yeah. You know. I mean, it makes sense because the natural, oh, it's here, and they need a quarterback, and they want to win, and they're going to do that. But I don't think, I mean, I think Rodgers is too methodical in his thought process to go, am I really wanting to follow that path of, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. he seems, some people agree, he seems like he's a little vain. And I don't think him following another great quarterback to another place like that, like, you know, Peyton went there and won. Now he's going to go there, kind of follow Peyton Manning. Example of going to Denver, or, you know, going to Tampa Bay and not winning one when Tom leaves versus going there. Like, I think he's staying put. I think they want to make it work. I think they're bringing in. They were a game away. Again, they were a game away. Yeah. They could have taken care of business, which they didn't. Now,
they franchise, what, Devontae?
They will franchise Devontae as long as Aaron's there. Yeah, they're not going to be depleted next year, and they're not going to. I mean, you can't trade Jordan Love. Jordan Love's just going to take his list. Listen, Jordan Love, if you are Aaron Rodgers, God bless you. But Aaron Rodgers sat 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can sit. You can make the money and learn. Save the time on your body and have a longer career. Now, the New Orleans Saints interviewed Eric sleeping with Bieniemy. Shout out, Boomer. And Dennis Allen. Everybody kind of figured Dennis Allen was going to be the heir apparent to Sean Payton, Frankie Muniz, when he left. Granted, that was probably the best move possible. Sean Payton's like, wait a minute, Drew Brees is gone. I got to pick my quarterbacks between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, and we're $70 million over the cap. Yo, dog, deuces. I am gone. I will see you later. I'm going to go to TV, make $8 million a year, drink cocktails at halftime, and not have to deal with this mess. Maybe I'll come back in a few years when Mickey Loomis is ready to retire and I'm the GM. You know, give me a presidential role? Maybe. Other than that, Frankie Muniz is taking his talents to Hollywood. Okay? So Dennis Allen has to take over the shoes of what has a great defense, but, man, their offense is depleted. Yeah, you have Alvin Kamara. Maybe he's knocking fools out in Las Vegas, so he may not be available. Now, the last head coaching position that has been filled so far, and I do think there's still another position available. Maybe I don't know if we filled them all. But the Miami Dolphins have signed the San Francisco 49ers offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel. So Mike McDaniel has been following the Shanahans since the beginning. Mike McDonald is a Yale graduate, stud, supermind, culturally relevant. The San Francisco 49ers will be receiving two compensatory draft picks for him being hired because he is of a minority. You see him, you would not think that. But he is, so they're going to get represented just like the Browns got with Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
So the coaching chaos that has happened in the NFL. Oh, and Tom McMahon. Shout out Tom McMahon. Tom McMahon, longtime special teams coordinator, been around forever, Indianapolis Colts, Denver Broncos, what, St. Louis Rams, I believe at the time. He has signed on to be the special teams coordinator in Las Vegas. So he's going to be with the Raiders. And Rich Bisaccia, the Italian, the Goomba, the guy that did an amazing job with the Raiders that probably should have been given that job, but hey, they wanted to make a splash and they took Josh McDaniels, is going to be the special teams coordinator in Green Bay, which cost them potentially a chance at the Super Bowl because their special teams was terrible. It was terrible at the beginning of the year, and it cost them at the end of the year. So at least they're making their fixes. The Dallas Cowboys said, nah, we're going to run it back. We're going to run it back with the same guys. They couldn't get anybody to take Paula Poundstone, a.k.a. Kellen Moore, and Dan Quinn decided, I'm not going to go anywhere because I want to be up in the booth, hat backwards, fist bumps, chest jabs, and talking trash. And he didn't want to leave, which is a good spot. I wouldn't want to leave either. I'd go back to Dallas. But they did nothing to fix their problems. Zeke's going to be a year older. Right. I don't know if they can afford Alvin Kamara. Or they can't afford him either. Amari Cooper.
Right.
They're going to have a hard time. Next year is going to be a very interesting situation.
It's all on Dak, yeah.
It's all on Dak, and we all know how that can go. Great at times, not good when it counts. Rooks would say it sounds a lot like Aaron Rodgers. You're listening to KDUS, 1060 AM, Phoenix, home of the Dan Patrick Show, Rich Eisen, James Out West, Killer Bees, NAU, NASU, football, basketball, what? You're listening to KDUS, 1060 AM, Phoenix.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. James Out West, Pat Stat Guy with me, producer Aaron. Just finished watching the Suns beat the 76ers on the road after an amazing performance the night before in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. The Phoenix Suns, again, red hot, number one in the NBA. Phoenix Suns win 114-109. JaVale McGee, 15-12. Didn't have any Shaq in full moments, it looks like. Putting the moves on it. And, wow, and those are some big dudes that they got in there for the Sixers. So, great win again. Suns keeping it real good. All right. So, the local quarterback here in Phoenix for the Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray, went on and scrubbed his social medias, unfollowed the Cardinals.
What?
Took every picture of anything that has to do with him with the Cardinals right off his social medias. What? Now, what does that mean? It's wild that this is a story, but it is a story. It's a story in the sense of you don't do that on accident, considering there's two other photos, a photo of him and Amari Cooper in their Pro Bowl uniforms, which was Sunday, the same day he scrubbed all this stuff. And there's some chirps about the coaching staff not having received their playoff bonuses money from the team.
Really?
And Kyler and Cliff are pretty tight, so this could be like a I stand with Cliff type thing. This could be that he's really upset that he's getting beat up and battered. Part of it's on himself. Maybe he is going to go play baseball. The A's do have his rights. There's a lot of money in that. His body could last forever. He's a stud athlete. I don't think that's what's happening. This is obviously a sign that he is upset with the organization over something. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know what's going on. Yeah, it'd be crazy to see him leading off for the A's though next year.
No kidding. Well, there probably won't be any spring training for us to see if he's even, because that would be the move. Spring training for the A's is out here.
Right.
Imagine if he showed up to their spring training, wasn't feeling questions about football, just I'm out here to have a good time. Man, that'd be incredible.
Yeah.
Where's Mr. Unlimited's rights with? Is he with the Texas Rangers or New York Yankees?
That's a good question. I think it was Texas.
But he still ends up with the Yankees spring training somehow with the pinstripes on, so I don't understand how that works.
Yeah.
Is that just like honorary, like Garth Brooks with the Padres? Is that like,
yeah,
huh, interesting.
It's interesting.
So I'm not quite sure what to make of it, ladies and gentlemen. I know that he's got, you know, I think he's entering the final year of his deal. He's going to make like 11 point. Well, I think it's like 11 and some change. That would be the cap hit. I don't think they're going to move him.
I mean, what, the Cardinals are a playoff team, though. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you really leave the Cardinals. Good situation.
And this isn't like it's the day before, you know, or the day after the season ended. This has been, you know, a couple of weeks for them now to all of a sudden have done this. So, whatever that is, not sure. I mean, Fitz on Kyler Murray's scrubbing of it. He said, I just want the best for everybody. What does that mean? He said, I just hope everything works out the way both sides want it to work out.
Yeah.
So obviously Fitzy knows something that maybe some of us don't know here, and I would hope that he would, but for him to make that statement, he's got to know. He said he hasn't talked to Kyler in a while, but he looked good in the Pro Bowl. And he's talking, he's out here at the, you know, Waste Management Phoenix Open. Shout out Phoenix Open. Said he's having a great time out there, you know, loves the Cardinals and wants the best for everybody. That's really that's an interesting statement. That'll catch some flack. That'll catch some steam here in the next couple of days for sure. All right. So I don't know if you got a chance to see this, but there was golf over the weekend. This is obviously not a big golf show. Golf show's on Monday. Shout out the golf show. I feel bad. I don't remember the name of the show, but shout out the golf show. Jordan Spieth basically was like a foot and a half away from certain death.
Really?
So at Pebble Beach, there's a spot. They call it the second best shot in all of golf, apparently. And it's a fairway that kind of goes off and it just drops off a cliff. Just drops off the cliff. So everybody kind of plays it short to then get the second shot over to the green. So he hit it a little too far, and it rolled into a hazard zone, not out of bounds, but a hazard zone. The aerial shot, ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance, Google Jordan Spieth. As soon as you start typing in Jordan Spieth, it's going to bring up this shot of him, and it's a blimp shot of him hitting. And he's hitting. He takes a step back. He's going down. It's 60-some feet. He's dead. I guess a couple of years ago, some golfers took a cart and just...
Wow.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, no, I'm seeing the video right now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's crazy.
He said if he would have known it was that close, because I guess down there it didn't look that close, that he wouldn't have done it. Because you're going to take a stroke,
first
too.
First off, that camera shot is amazing.
He's taking it. He would have to take a penalty stroke to pick the ball up from there.
Shout out to that.
So he was not going to take that stroke, especially because he was in the chance. There was a chance that he was going to win that thing. So, and no, he didn't. And who won, I don't know. And that's really not our show, ladies and gentlemen. So moving on. Now, again, before we get into the NBA and all these things, the NFL, I think we've kind of covered the majority of stuff. Joe Judge, ex-Giants head coach who threw the pizza party for everybody when he left. That's interesting. Is going back to the evil empire of the New England Patriots to be an assistant head coach. You've got Everett. Now, did you remember hearing about this? This Washington DB, DeShazor Everett, charged with involuntary manslaughter, bro. Car crash, single incident, December 23rd, right before Christmas. The passenger in his seat died. He turned himself in. It was his girlfriend, Olivia Peters. Rest in peace.
Which
he played
team?
In 14 games for 2021. It was the Washington football team when he played for him. But moving forward, it'll be the Washington Commanders. All thoughts and prayers with their families. All right. So, more Super Bowl. Obviously, we're going to have a ton going on there. Storylines. I think the biggest thing, like we said, coming down to it, it's going to be offensive line, defensive line. Who's going to win that battle? They've got a lot on their plate, the Cincinnati Bengals do.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be able to move the ball offensively because, yes, let's say that they line up Jalen Ramsey on Ja'Marr Chase. Okay, but what are you doing about the other guys? You know what I'm saying? What are you doing about Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins? What are you doing about C.J. Uzman? What are you doing about those guys? Like, they're going to have to manufacture some routes and to get Ja'Marr Chase open. But, I mean, this is our best against your best. And what might be the two of the top five at their position in the league.
Yeah. You get an extra week to prepare, too. Like, who knows?
It's incredible.
Maybe they do stop Aaron Donald a couple times, you know?
They're going to have to. Well, okay, so let's say we're double-teaming Aaron Donald. So what would have to happen? You'd have to have a big Von Miller game. I mean, Von Miller going to be a factor in this game into which he's going to be able to, he could potentially be the MVP. Aaron Donald could be the MVP. Obviously, it's usually always the quarterbacks, unless it's a lame game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you kind of figure, but they could, Matt Stafford could throw for 285, two touchdowns and two picks, and they can win the game.
Yeah. But, you know, Joe Burrow, you know, speed up your release a little bit. Like, he can, you know, do some short passes like T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. Like, look for those guys to have big games.
Absolutely what would have to happen. Now, because this is, it's a sad, listen, Sunday is going to be joyous for a lot of people, sad for a lot of people, but ultimately it is the end of the NFL season.
Yeah.
Time to go back and hibernate. Baseball's not seeming like they're doing anything right now. It's a bunch of, you know, flapping their gums, nothing getting done. We've got hockey, I guess. Golf is out there. NASCAR, if you like to see cars go around in circles. I mean, not a lot happening. Basketball is what's picking up, and that's what we're going to jump into next. The NBA. It is, so being somebody that kind of poo-pooed the NBA, I'm done with basketball a couple of years ago when LeBron left again, even though I knew he was going to leave Cleveland. We already knew that. But I'll tell you what. The Cavs a couple of years ago, some of the pieces they made it interesting, but they're never on TV. But obviously the run that the Phoenix Suns had last year, making it to the finals. You could feel the energy in Phoenix. You know, Rally the Valley was real. The rally-oop, the alley-oop, the valley-oop, all that. It was
up
all real. It was fantastic.
Right?
Like, they were up 2-0, yeah. It was an incredible series. Hated to see it happen the way it did. Would have loved to have seen them win it. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They're right back to being the number one seed in the NBA again. This is a huge win tonight. On the road off of a back-to-back against the two of the top five Eastern Conference teams, and the Suns made it happen. I mean, they're built for a run. Obviously, like we talked about, your Los Angeles Lakers are like the, well, they're only like a game and a half out of the playoff situation. But the fact that we're saying that the Los Angeles Lakers, with AD, LeBron James, and Brian Westbrook, whatever you want to call him, the most horrendous shooting.
Brian
Brickwurst. Like this cat might be the worst shooting guard of all time. Guards have to be able to shoot. This dude. Ben Simmons.
He's a point guard. Isn't
Ben
he?
Simmons
Russell,
is the
Russell,
yeah. Ben
Westbrook.
Simmons is the worst shooter of all time as a guard. This cat is the second worst. But the volume in which he shoots, makes him the worst. Ben Simmons take 5 shots a game.
Yeah.
This guy takes 25 shots a game.
You look at Russell's stats, like he gets 18 a game. You think like, oh, that's, you know, it's a lot of production, but the number of shots he puts up to get there.
And the number of turnovers to get there as well, because his plus. So there was a crazy stat a couple nights ago. When Russell Westbrook was on the court, now granted, freak athlete, one of the top 75 players of all time, what he did averaging a triple-double 2 years in a row, incredible. He might have even done it 3 years at this point. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Incredible. But to be that inconsistent to where when he's on the court, they were minus 22, and when he was off the court, they were plus 16.
Yeah, I mean, he demands the ball.
What is that? You know what I mean? What is that? You're looking at the Suns are 44-10. Actually, well, yeah, this might have updated today then, or with this win right here. 44-10. The Warriors, 41-13. They're 3 games back. They've won 9 in a row. They're 3 games back of the Suns, and they've won 9 in a row without Draymond Green, who's injured. I don't know if he's missed that whole 9 games, but the Lakers are 26-28. They've won 1 in a row. They play tonight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. LeBron James, when he's been healthy this year, which is wild to say that LeBron James and the word not being healthy in the same situation, but he's like 47 years old now, who's also said that he would like to play with Bronny and that he would leave the Lakers to do so. We already knew that. I figured he was going to leave the Lakers to begin with when his 40 years was up. I always said he would end up back in Cleveland to break Kareem's all-time scoring record in a Cavs uniform. But the way this Cleveland Cavaliers team is playing, they don't want him there.
Yeah.
They've all but said it. Darius Garland, shout out, first time
they moved on.
All-star, that we would love to be able to do something here without LeBron James. That'd be pretty cool. That is him speaking for the locker room saying, we don't want LaFraud back in Cleveland until he retires and buys the team. Come back then when you buy the team. And then you can trade for your son and you can do everything you need to do. Until then, stay at. You listen to KDUS, 1060 AM, Phoenix, home of the Dan Patrick Show. What? Rich Eisen, James Out West, Killer Bees, and NAU basketball. See you on the other side.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. James Out West finishing up on a special edition Tuesday. Solo James Out West. Rooks, not in action this week. All right, but what is in action right now is the NBA. They, you know, they're releasing all these things. They did the top 75 players of all time. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when they did the top 50. And it was relevant to me because I was a basketball junkie. Now, top 75, they've added in some guys that are obviously of the new era. You know, your Kevin Durant, your LeBron James, your coach, because they weren't in those. Because that was like done in the 90s. But to see now they did the top 50 coaches of all time. I mean, obviously, we already know what number one and number two is going to be. Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, shout out. Now, what's interesting, though, Pat Riley, 3, okay. Greg Popovich, 4, that makes sense. Chuck Daly, number 5, okay. Lenny Wilkins, 6. Lenny Wilkins, number 6 all time. Never won an NBA championship as a coach.
Yeah.
Just was the all-time winningest coach at one time. Coached great Cavaliers teams. Matter of fact, he was the coach when Jim Brinson, shout out Jim Brinson, Killer Bees, was calling it for WUAB. He was their head coach. Larry Brown, number 7. There's some interesting ones on here. I did see that Eric Spoelstra made the list.
Really?
Eric Spoelstra made the list, which is interesting. I mean,
where's he at on the list?
I'm thinking he's in the top 25. I haven't gotten to where he's at in here, but Casey Jones is on here. Bill Cunningham, a lot of the Celtics greats, obviously, when they have so many championships like they do.
I mean, yeah. Think about what Spoelstra's done, like, post-LeBron. He's put up some good teams. Like
they went to the finals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're number one in the East right now.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, he's got Jimmy Butler, but they – and he came from where? The film room. He came from being just, you know, coffee grabber to film study, to scout, to coach, to world champion, right?
Yeah.
They won 2 titles. To coaching in another championship without the big 3, without LeBron, like you said, without Dwayne Wade, without Chris Bosh. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. NBA trades making some moves, some curious moves in that some teams that have no business making trades like they're all in are making trades like they're all in. The New Orleans Pelicans being one of those, making a, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was like six player trade. Now, bottom line is they end up with C.J. McCollum, who's a great scorer out of Portland by way of Cleveland, Ohio. He's incredible. They got younger. I think they got Larry Nance in that situation. You have the Indianapolis Pacers, who, very interesting what they're doing, because they made two separate transactions this week. They traded a cat who's averaging almost 19 points a game. And I'm going to say his name right, Caris LeVert. I believe that's how you say it, Caris LeVert. Anyways, 18.9. He used to be a teammate of Jarrett Allen when they were in Brooklyn. Now they're both with the Cavs.
Shooting guard?
Yeah. But averaging almost 19 a game in the NBA is no slouch move. And to get traded like this, very, very awesome to pick up a scorer like this. This guy, his last two games in Indiana before he was traded, he scored 68 points total. The last guy to do that in Cleveland was LeBron James, 2016. I'll take it. I will take it.
That depth's going to be important in the East. There's a lot of deep teams.
A lot of deep teams, which is nice because, well, listen, to get to the East, just like forever, you had to get through LeBron, right? On the West, you had to get through Golden State for a time. It was the Lakers for a time with Shaq, right? Yeah. To get through the East, you have to get through Milwaukee. Regardless of what seed they are, you got to get through Giannis, right?
Yeah.
And they are built with length, right? That team's got multiple big guys with length. You have to be able to combat that. And that's what the Cleveland Cavaliers have done, ladies and gentlemen. They have built this team to be young, fast, and tall. Everybody's got length. They've got three big men that are over 7 feet. And I'm not talking about old man Uncle Kevin Love, Grandpa Kevin Love. I'm talking about the big Evan Mobley, your rookie of the year.
Yeah.
You've got Jarrett Allen, another 7 footer.
Yeah, he's huge.
They've got Lori Markin, which you can't. Phoenix Radio doesn't want to hear this, but too bad. I have a microphone and you don't. Shout out Adam Sandler. Watching these moves have been interesting. You know, the Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups taking over the team. They're going to try to build around a 32-year-old, you know, Dime Lillard.
He's 32 already?
He's 32 already.
No way.
Yeah. So a 32-year-old about to be 32. Dime Lillard. Dame. This cat is, what are they doing in the West? They're really going to win? Yeah, you're going to free up about, I think it was about $60 million in cap space. Who's coming to Portland to play with them? When has that ever been a destination for anybody? They'd be better off building a franchise in Seattle, making them the Supersonics again, trading Dame to there, and people would go there first.
Does Dame have friends like, you know, almost like recruit like LeBron did?
You would hope that he would, but look, LeBron was the best player in the world, and he couldn't recruit players to Cleveland. Yeah. You're not recruiting players to Portland. You're not. Half the city's burned down. They ain't fixed that yet. It rains all the time. Coffee can only be so good. Right. Oh, yeah, I get a lot of Nike swag. I mean, that's only going to go so far. I'm a grown man. I'm a man. I'm 40. You know what I mean? And 40-year-olds aren't going there to play.
Yeah.
I think that kind of spells the end, if anything. But they're not going to trade him, and he's not going to leave. I think he's going to make like $47 million or something next year. Like, Dame's got one of those ridiculous contracts.
Yeah.
Where he's going to make this ridiculous. Well, hey, you know what? It's not ridiculous. You're worth whatever they're going to pay you. But to see, you know, McCollum, who I always thought was going to get traded to Cleveland or get traded to L.A., you know, because that's a piece that's going to come in and give you 20 right away. Like you said, dude, Lakers know that they ain't making no moves. Who are you going to trade and who are you going to get?
No.
They messed around and got Westbrook instead of getting Buddy Hield. That's where they made the mistake, because they let LeBron do LeBron things. Granted, he got us a title. Shout out LeBron down 16 Cleveland Cavaliers. He got you guys a title. A bubble title, doesn't matter. It's still an NBA championship. And I do think that they'll look at it 10, 15, 20 years from now if the NBA is still around. Because you never know.
Yeah.
That was one of the harder championships to ever win. You didn't have the momentum of the crowd. You didn't have the momentum of having a home advantage. You lived in a bubble, stayed in a hotel, got your hair cut by a makeshift shipping container with a dude cutting hair for 3 months. That's an incredible feat. And to do it the way that they did it, with the age that they were, and to do it against the Miami Heat, shout out Eric Spoelstra, to do it against them, and to do it in the manner in which they did, capping off giving LeBron James a fourth championship. I know people don't want to hear about LeBron James, LaFraud, nobody wants to hear about it, but they're really not relevant anymore right now. The Lakers aren't going to make any move into which they're going to propel themselves into the Western Conference
They'll make the playoffs, right? Like, I mean.
Maybe.
That's as hopeful as I get.
They should. They should make the playoffs. They should. Now, some of these teams that are making moves, like the Cleveland Cavaliers, look at the Phoenix Suns, didn't do anything because you know why? They don't have to. That team's got depth. They've got a great coach. They got what they needed last year, which was that experience of going there, being up. Actually, weren't they even up 3-1? Weren't they up 3-1?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if they were up 3-1.
I thought it was 2-0, but I mean.
2-0, maybe.
Either way.
Well, they lost last
all,
four,
all
right?
All of Phoenix was
they lost last
was
four, right?
They were,
yeah,
we were,
I mean,
it
was,
yeah.
Should have been. It was incredible to watch. They're right back on track, though. And I do think in the West that it's gonna have to come through Phoenix.
Right, and there was that one ref that everyone thought hated Chris Paul.
Well, he does. Like, well, yeah. He does, and that's documented. We know that, and it'll come up next year or come up at the end of this year. The Kings making moves. Why are the Kings trading for Sabonis? I have no idea. Why are the Kings getting rid of top-notch young talent for no reason? The Pacers aren't going anywhere. They're trading off more young talent. There's a bunch of lame duck franchises in the NBA because they don't have a superstar. And they're just trying to make moves until they can eventually get one. Memphis got lucky in getting Ja Morant. In the sense of, like, they had, you know, Mike Conley. Shout out Mike Conley, Ohio State, O-H-I-O-Y, forever. But it ran its course. And then when he leaves, where'd he go? Utah, and plays really well. And Utah's making a run to be in the NBA Finals, you know, as long as Rudy Gobert can stay healthy and things like that. The NBA is chock full of, like we said, dude, I kind of fell off the wagon of the NBA for a while. And then I got back into it, partially because we have this radio show, because I love sports and gambling and all that, but because it's fun again. But there was a time there where the majority of the NBA talent was so raw, and they didn't have organized basketball because all they do is play AAU, and they're not getting – it was a weak and watered-down product. There was no defense. There was no real skill. It was athletic feats of everybody just dunking and, you know, no one taking the mid-range. Where's the mid-range at? You know, look at Booker bringing back the mid-range. Chris Paul, you know, the mid-range, back to basic basketball. Now you got some of these cats can really play that are young, that have a very unique skill set.
Yeah.
Shout out Liam Neeson, taking 14.
The future of the
NBA
is definitely in good hands.
Oh, yeah, between Luka and all. But some of those guys are like, they're still young, but they're like veterans now.
Yeah.
Like Luka and Joel Embiid.
I mean, Luka's been a pro basketball player since he was 14 years old or something.
Yeah, and over there it's probably since he was like 11.
Yeah.
You will play. Well, the Brooklyn Nets, ladies and gentlemen, they are a mess in one way or another. It's not partially their fault. It is in the sense of the city that they're in. If they just would have stayed in Jersey, they wouldn't have this issue. Kyrie could play.
Yeah.
But because their city has a mandate in which if you are not vaccinated, it's not an NBA rule. So listen to these people on ESPN and NBA radio. I hear you on Sirius in the mornings. Talking about he needs to get vaccinated so he can play at home. No, your city needs to change the rule. It's the only city in America that's doing this. It's the only city in the NBA that has this. No, your city's being pompous. Highest rate amongst most major cities anyways, but that's all for another story. Kyrie, they're not going to win a championship as long as this is the situation. They could have traded him. They should have traded him.
Yeah.
I thought Dallas or a Florida team would have been perfect.
They,
you know what I'm saying?
What, 9 losses in a row? Something like that going into today? Yeah.
They don't have the depth. Now they're talking about trading Joe Harris. So are they selling? Are they going to trade James Harden? Is he going to go to Philly? Is he going to end up, do they just say scrap it and they send him somewhere else? They send him to a non-contender.
126-91 tonight.
Yeah, they got blown out. Yeah. Boston was on them. At the half, they were up by 30 almost. They were up by 30. What did you say the score was?
126-91.
Dang, they got beat by more than 27. That's incredible. All right, so the NBA All-Star Game will be here in 2 weeks. We got skills competition, dunk contest, the Rising Stars game. You know, this game's going to be 247-236. LeBron's going to have like 75 points. You know, they're going to put up ridiculous numbers. It's going to be fun. What stinks, though, is that it's in Cleveland. Shout out, awesome. Glad they got that. But the city is making all local businesses close early. They're not allowed to serve alcohol as late as some of the other big establishments that the NBA is providing. Trash, ladies and gentlemen. Well, with that being said, Tuesday night in the books, James out west, no Ryan Rooks, Pat in the house, producer Aaron, thanks for chiming in. He kept it pretty quiet, but he's wearing a Steelers hat, so he's not allowed to talk. KDUS 1060 AM Phoenix, home of the Dan Patrick Show. Rich Eisen, James out west. We'll see you next week on Monday. Check out jamesoutwest.com. Good night.